hint, I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. The antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue. You join us on a second visit to the Rose Theatre in Kingston-upon-Thames. The most famous son of Kingston was Jack Rackham, the 18th century pirate. Rackham captured a Spanish galleon laden with bullion and sailed to South America, where he traded gold for coffee and rubber from Amazon natives. They suggested that other sailors who bought those Amazon products also enjoyed giving them smallpox and syphilis. Rackham sailed into the Pacific, where he was shipwrecked on a desert island. To pass the time awaiting rescue, he and the crew played skittles on the beach, hurling a ball at small turtles, and so invented the sport of terrapin bowling. Local resident celebrities include the TV presenter Eamon Holmes, who recently contacted his lawyers to complain about the BBC broadcasting jokes about his size and appetite. Mr. Holmes famously announced he was to marry his TV co-host live on air before jetting off on honeymoon for a beach holiday where Greenpeace tried to push him back into the sea. Kingston Borough Council are rightly proud of their recycling and landfill waste service, boasting they have the second largest collection of rubbish in London. The biggest is in the Tate Modern. The Fulham FC player George Cohen was born here and was a member of the 1966 England World Cup team. Financial hardship recently forced Cohen to sell his winner's medal, though his old club Fulham stepped in and raised funds to buy it. They were going to put it in their trophy room, but no one still alive can remember where the key is. And they're not alone in struggling to remember the last time they enjoyed popular success. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Crowe and Graham Gardner. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Ross Noble. And making a welcome return to keep a keen eye on the team's points, please welcome our scorer, the delightful Samantha. We start this week with some more contributions to the Uxbridge English Dictionary. The English language has many words providing strict definitions. For example, most people don't know the difference between atomic and nuclear. Well, it's quite simple if you bother to look them up. Nuclear refers to using or producing nuclear energy through fission or fusion, or describes certain military weapons of mass destruction, whereas atomic is what you put in your gin with ice and lemon. However, words are constantly changing their meanings, so I'll ask the teams to suggest any new definitions they may have spotted recently. Tim, can you start?
Polaroids. Painful condition from sitting on icebergs.
Barry?
This is from rather an old Uxbridge dictionary. Hors d'oeuvre. Women who hang round diesel pumps.
Graham.
Precipitate, an art gallery on a cliff.
Ross.
Impair, the stuff that gets cut at a pixie barber.
Solder, a military man with an eye missing.
Ostracise. About as big as an ostrich.
Suffocate. What Prince William has to do when his wife's in a mood.
When she's in a mood.
Koi poo. What is done behind a bush at a picnic.
Capable. Two things you need to be a matador.
dace. What the Queen uses to play board games.
Manoeuvre, an unused vacuum cleaner.
Buffalo, to greet someone in the nude.
Cistern, a toilet painted by Michelangelo.
Perverse, how freelance poets get paid.
In our next round, the teams will use their acting skills in the game called Sound Charades. This is based on the old TV favourite Give Us a Clue, where they had silent mimes, an ecstatic audience and gales of laughter. Obviously, in the team's version, the bit about silence differs completely. And so did the other two bits. Give Us a Clue's past master was, of course, Lionel Blair. Even Lionel occasionally became exhausted and depressed and felt he couldn't complete his mime, but one of his team would always encourage him to go on. Eunice Stubbs recalls she was amazed to witness how Christopher Biggins soon had Lionel's pecker up. And pushed him through the whole of Howard's End. Tim and Ross, you're to start, please. And your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
The Clangers. The Clangers.
Off you go, please, Tim and Ross.
OK, it's two words and it's television. And it goes like this.
Oh, I haven't seen you in ages. How's that dog of yours?
He died.
Sorry about that. Is Marjorie well?
Marjorie left me a year ago.
Oh, God. The kids okay?
Don't know. She took them with her and they blame me and won't speak to me.
Oh, God. Well, at least you've got your health.
Yeah, well, at least for the next 3 months, the doctor's given me to live.
I better go before I drop another one.
Oh, that was you, was it? Open the window on the way out, would you? Thank you. Yeah.
Dropping a series of clangers, wasn't he? The Clangers.
Right, your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title's now being exhibited on the board. And here once more is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
The Lost Weekend. The Lost Weekend.
So it's a film, and it's three words.
Three words.
Rather like this.
Image.
Ah. Dougal, you'll have had your tea.
I've no time for the high life. I am on an urgent quest.
Well, it's first on the right past the Corby Sporran place.
No, I'm following a hot trail.
You'll have no luck there. Bessie McTavish is away at her auntie's.
No, it's Wee Ken. Wee Ken has gone missing.
Wee Ken the postie?
The very same. He was out delivering the post when a letter mysteriously disappeared. Last time he was seen, he was away looking for it.
What letter was that?
The letter D.
Oh! Well, good hunting, old friend.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
He's dropped a letter.
Something's lost.
Oh.
Is it Lost Weekend?
Yeah! Okay, well, there were several notable sporting events in this Jubilee year, including Royal Ascot, attended by the Queen and members of her family. They went to watch races such as the Ascot Gold Cup, run by four-year-olds, which made an amusing change from horses. And the King George VI Handicap Stakes, run by horses with speech impediments. The other great sporting event is the Olympic Games, and it's well documented that the Olympic Village is a hotbed of sexual energy. So, teams, I'd like you to suggest chat-up lines that might be used by Olympic athletes. Tim, can you start again?
Oh, you're a swimmer, are you? I tend to start with a gentle backstroke before starting the breaststroke. How about this for a length?
Ross?
I hear you're a handball player. You've got hands. I've...
Graham?
A trampoline, eh? I could watch you bouncing up and down all night.
Hi. No, it's not a javelin.
So you're a weightlifter. I'd like to see you do a two-hand snatch, clean and jerk.
Can you introduce me to the rowers? You look like you're no stranger to the cox.
Oh, you're a badminton champion, are you? If I give you a shuttlecock, will you make a racket?
So you're a synchronised swimmer. If we make sweet love, will your 10 friends have to copy exactly what you...
Boxing. Here you can bring down boxers in under 3 minutes. Do you think you can lick me in the ring?
Tim has actually broken into a sweat now.
Taekwondo. No idea. Do you want to go to bed?
Well, it's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first, we've discovered from the BBC postbag that she doesn't like being called that. And that we've received a letter from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. She writes, "Dear Woman's Hour, why waste money on baby-naming books when all the names you need can be found in the telephone directory? Yours, Mrs. Trellis. P.S. Any chance of a signed photo for my grandson, Dino Rod Emergency Hotline Trellis? With all eyes on the East End of London at the moment, this week we'll be playing the Cockney version of the game. So remember, teams... Positional play is illegal on any given diagonal, and each move must be preceded by the official rhyming slang. Oh. So you start hello. Hello, sailor. Tim Brooke Taylor, come on.
I was getting quite excited for a moment. I don't know where to start, really. I'll go cheese and chutney, Putney.
Oh, well, well. Putney. Taken short. Earl's Court.
I'm going to go for the Barry. Barry Sheen, Parsons Green.
Fair enough. Yes, that's... Oh, I can't get him on that. Well, Parsons Green's all right. That's good for me. No bloody good, Chorley Wood.
Chorley Wood?
Yeah.
In that case, I've got to do Summon an Oak, Beckon Tree.
Not strictly rhyming, is it?
No. No, but it's strictly Cockney.
Which is a great show on a Saturday night, I have to say, I love it.
Well, oh, beg your pardon, Covent Garden.
Yep.
That was Pants. Pants on Fire, Barry Cryer.
That would put me... Barry Sheen, Bethnal Green.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Well, he's dodged the diagonal there, hasn't he? Right, if you want a pasty, you can't do better than a Ginster Westminster.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, and that following thoughts... Susan Boyle, Park Royal.
Oh. Shut that door, Terminal 4.
So that would put me Barry. Barry Sheen, Willesden Green.
Oh. He's skirting on the edge of his diagonal here, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Well, that's the point.
This all Sickenham, Twickenham.
That was a steamer.
What?
What? There's no rhyme, I'm just saying that was a steamer.
Oh, yeah.
Close to a steamer ship, isn't it? Yes, best take the pill, Lavender Hill.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you've played it before, haven't you?
Piers Morgan, Hampton Wick. I think it's allowable in the circumstances.
Yeah.
Barry. Barry Sheen, Wood Green.
I've got a funny feeling.
Oh, good.
North Ealing.
Facebook poke, Gospel Oak.
Who gives a toss? Brent Cross.
So that would put me... No, don't put me off, hang on. That would put me... Martin. Oh, yeah, yeah. Martin Sheen, Bounds Green.
Oh, right, OK. Miserable Dump, Neasden.
Oh, dear. I'm on the train, Rainer's Lane.
Antidepressant, Mornington Crescent.
Well, the next round is all about questions and answers. Probably the most famous and respected radio question and answer format is Gardener's Question Time. But even that panel of experts sometimes get it horribly wrong. During that nasty cold snap last winter, I took their advice to throw breadcrumbs on the lawn and the bloody birds at them. Now, I'm going to supply a selection of answers, and the teams must guess what the original questions were. So, Barry, you can start. Here's the answer. I will know what the question is. The answer is 752,000 condoms.
What was the unsuccessful follow-up to 76 trombones?
The actual answer is, what contraception was provided to the athlete's village during the Sydney Olympics?
Yeah.
Well. So you, Tim, here's one for you. The world hibernation record.
What would you like Jeremy Clarkson to win?
Yeah, in fact, the question was, what did a possum break in 2007 when it emerged after 367 days? Graham, here's the answer. What's the question? The one with a silly face.
Which Miliband brother leads the Labour Party?
According to the Queen in 1962, which of the cast of Beyond the Fringe was her favourite? That was believed to be Jonathan Miller, in fact. Ross, here's the answer. What's the question? The balls.
What did Quasimodo shout in the porn version of The Hunchback of Notre Dame? The ball!
The ball!
But the question was, for what in games of rugby did the boys of rugby school use inflated pig's bladders? Here are some for any of you to have a go at. The answer is stuttering.
What afflicted the vicar who christened Edward Woodward?
In fact, the question was, what affliction besets 7% of all male zebra finches?
Oh, yeah, should have got that.
The answer is, to the bottom.
What do proctologists shout first thing in the morning?
In fact, the question is, unlike in other beers, which way do the bubbles travel in a pint of Guinness? The answer is the Seine.
What group of people dislike Michael Gove?
A In fact, it was where at the Paris Olympics in 1900 did the 200-metre obstacle race take place? Tiny male genitals.
What should you draw on the forehead of a sleeping drunk mouse? Do you know, I think I've had that dream.
It's, in fact, what was the Ford Motor Company dismayed to discover that the word pinto was slang for in Brazil? Not a popular model. A suffragette.
Who did Barry lose his virginity to? No.
And I did not chain her to the railings. It's a lie.
She thought it was the king's horse.
In fact, the question was about who or what did Queen Victoria famously say she ought to get a good whipping? That's what she said. Mr. Whippy.
Who is Max Mosley's favourite ice cream man?
In fact, the question was, what did Margaret Thatcher's experiments with soft scoop ice cream while working as a research chemist make possible? She's responsible for Mr. Whippy, is she? Hmm. So I'm talking to myself now. Oh, good, there are some more of these. The answer is an inability to vomit.
What does John McCririck look for in a woman?
It's actually what do rabbits, mice, rats, hamsters, guinea pigs and Japanese quail have in common?
Oh,
yeah. Good Lord. Yeah.
And finally... it changed its name.
What did the Cambridge University National Trust Society do?
It's, in fact, how did Japan's second largest tourist agency, the Kinki Nippon Tourist Company, respond after it entered English-speaking markets and received requests for unusual sex tours? We move on to a musical round now with Swanee Kazoo. This is where the teams combine the velvet smooth glissando of the Swanee whistle with the grating chirrup of the kazoo. Once thought unlikely, this combination is now as popular as sausage and chips, jam and roly-poly, or coronary and failure. Providing the piano accompaniment, we have Colin Sell. Listeners won't be surprised to learn that Colin has a massive fan base. It fits the Ventaxia Coolmaster Mark II. Colin's looking for £10 or near offer. So, Tim and Ross, you can start, and I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of A, You're Adorable, to feature Ross Noble on the kazoo and Tim Brooke Taylor on the Swanee whistle. Graham, I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of the Chattanooga Choo Choo to feature Barry Cryer on the kazoo and Graham Garden on the Swanee whistle.
Thank you.
And so we arrive at the last game of the show, and it's all about health matters. Climate change has prompted a lot of advice about going out in strong sunshine. A family I know visited the seaside recently, and their granny got completely burnt in minutes. I don't muck about at Bexhill Crematorium. So, teams, I'd like your suggestions, please, of song titles to suit anyone either not feeling well or thinking of throwing a sickie. You can start this one, Graham.
Queasy like Sunday moaning.
Barry?
Shingle bells.
Ross?
I got flu, babe.
While my catarse gently weeps.
Skip to the loo, my darling.
Rock around the pox. And that was performed by Ill Healy and the Vomits.
Ah. Underneath the arches. Yeah.
I just threw up where you belong.
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely goiter.
See what the boils on the backside will have. Sung by Simon and Carbuncle. How do you solve a problem like diarrhea?
And that marks the end of the show and this series, which itself marks 40 years of the show. After all that time, it was decided the teams could use some really strong new gags. Just a pity they didn't wear them. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and the good people of Kingston, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Ross Noble were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.